Okay, and we're back. Hour number three. And this is going to be fun. It always is. And I was trying to think earlier. It's over 20 years, well over 20 years, that this gentleman was first on this program. And we sat in similar positions, talking back and forth to each other. And a lot has happened since then. Hello, Jordan. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing pretty good, I think, Jeff. So we'll find out soon enough.
Well, good. Yeah. I'm just amazed at what you have not only contributed to this planet, especially those who seek to know, but what you've seen and what you've observed in all these decades, going back to when you were just a kid. Jordan had a very unusual childhood, a very special childhood. He's not a normal person. I don't know who he is or what he is or what planet he comes from, but Jordan Maxwell is not normal. He's very, very special. And did you ever honestly think that they would assume such in-our-face control so quickly, so fast, so overtly, with no concern whatsoever? None.
Yeah, and I just was, and I've thought about that even recently. I've been thinking about that I, even back in 1959, which is almost 60 years ago, when I was talking to people about the things I was interested in, which at that time was just generally the secret societies and occult symbols and cults and religious orders that were actually connected to organized crime and were the fronts for governmental banking institutions and all of the banking stuff going back into, the Maritime Admiralty Law and just all of the strange darkness that lurks all over the earth that people are just not aware of. But I was doing it back then because I just happened to be interested in such dark subjects. Mm-hmm. But I never realized what my life would turn out to be like because of where I was going and how I was doing it, because I had no care whatsoever in business. I'm not stupid, but I was not interested in business because business represented to me a waste of my valuable life,
right?
Whatever time
on
this earth.
It's the game. You're playing part of the game, wasting your life. Right, exactly. Business takes you out of really being able to contribute to the planet.
That's exactly what I felt.
And
even at 9 and 10 years old, when I was asking questions of priests and clergy and people in town that were supposedly important people. I mean, even as a kid, I had the opportunity to talk to the mayor of the town and the police chief. My dad, my mom knew the police chief. And I had a chance, and my mom's two uncles were very, very famous lawyers and they became judges in my hometown.
Right.
And so I had an opportunity, even as a kid, just talking to my mom's uncles who were federal judges. And I would ask them, things about the law, and they would look at me and like I had three heads. And so
here's this kid asking these questions that even adults shouldn't ask.
Yeah, and I guess I've told you about when I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. I told you about that incident, but
Tell us again. Yeah. That's a great one.
Well, I was like 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and if you're Catholic at 9 to 10 years old, there's a special service held in church for all the little 8 and 9 year old boys and girls, and so that's called confirmation, where it's a special religious service, usually in charge of by the bishop, the closest bishop. And the idea is that you are pronounced at the end of the service as a Catholic. You are now fully recognized as a Catholic boy and girl. Mm-hmm. You've been confirmed.
Well, the name says it all, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And so the nuns at the Catholic school that I was going to at that time said to us, now tomorrow night at the confirmation service, the mm-hmm. bishop is going to be in town, so everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a very special night for all of you children. So the bishop may possibly, I don't know for sure, she said, but he may possibly ask after the service is over, he may ask you if you have any questions about your faith now. And since you are now confirmed Catholic, he will try and answer your questions for you. And so if that happens, she said, if that happens, remember, you don't have any questions, period. You don't. You just sit quiet. You don't have any questions. If he wants to say something, that's his privilege, but mm-hmm. not you. Mm. And so all the boys sat on one side of the church, and the girls sat on the other. And for Catholics listening to me, they know what I'm talking about. And so, after the service was over, the bishop did say to us and to the children, he said, well, now that your children are Catholic, if you have some questions about your faith, I'll try and answer them if I can. And he was very nice about it. And so I stood up and I said, yes, Bishop, I didn't want to sit down. I want everybody to know in church who I am. I want them to remember who I am. And so I stood up and I said, yes, Bishop, I have a question. And I said, my father works with torches, like a welder. And I said, and he's let me hold the welding torches sometimes when they were burning. And I think they're fascinating torches. But my question to you is, if I'm holding a torch which is on fire, and if an angel appeared to me and standing next to me, could I take that torch and burn him? If I hit him with that torch, would that hurt him? And he looked at me like a deer in the headlights, and he said, well, no. And I said, why not? And he said, well, I mean, fire. And he said something to the effect that fire is a natural phenomenon. You have to have paper or wood or, you know, plastic or something right. to burn, because it's right. That's a natural thing of the earth. But fire cannot harm an angel. Hmm. And I said, why not? And he said, well, first of all, you can't even see an angel normally. And if you can't see an angel, then there's nothing there to burn. You can't burn a spirit because mm-hmm. there's nothing to burn. And I said, well, then why am I worried about going to hell where my spirit will burn forever if you can't burn a spirit?
Oh, that's too funny. That's a great story.
And so he looked at me like yeah. Bugs Bunny in front yeah. of yeah. headlights. And it finally occurred to him, you need to sit this kid down and shut up. And so there was a Catholic priest. He was very red-headed, Catholic priest from Ireland, new, young and new. And he looked at me, and he pointed at me in front of everybody and said, you sit down and shut up. And I thought to myself, I did what I wanted to do. I wanted to draw attention to two things, the arrogance of the priest and the ignorance of the bishop. And I accomplished both at 9 years old.
You also did a third thing, Jordan. You proved that you proved that you were a free soul.
Yes. Yeah. I was free. Always a free soul. Yeah. I was questioning everything.
Yeah.
And I knew that it didn't take me very long, because I used to go to all the churches that my friends in school and uh-huh. everybody was going to each other's church. All the kids went to each other's church, so yeah. I did too.
Yeah.
But I always, even at that early age, I was looking for wisdom, knowledge, mm-hmm. intellectually satisfying answers to questions that don't make any sense. And so I would go to different churches looking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to mm-hmm. explain to me, a child, you know, about God, about heaven, about the world we live in, and why do we do what we do? As a matter of fact, who the hell are we to start with?
Right.
You know, you say God created us, but I don't understand that. And so I went to many, many churches looking for truth, looking for answers. And of course, there is none, period, in any church at all, period. End of sentence. There is no dark and wonderful and profound, interesting, intellectual truth that you learn. It's a religion. And it's just a ritual. It's like the woman's club, a ladies' club.
Yeah, you might as well be in the military.
Yeah, you might as well.
Because it's a structured organization. Service. Yes, of course. A service. They do call it a service, don't they?
Yeah. It's good. You went to the service.
That's funny.
It reminds me of the story of the little kid that comes out of church one morning with his father, and there's a statue of a Marine. And bronze statue of a Marine, and the little kid asked his father, he said, "What is that statue for?" And he said, "Oh, that's to commemorate the men who have died in the service." And he said, "Oh, really?" So it was at the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock. After that experience, talking to the bishop, and he had no idea what I was talking about. I started, thinking to myself, and I would drop Alka-Seltzer in the holy water on Sundays and watch the adults' reaction.
A miracle.
Yeah, it was a miracle.
That's
the holy water
funny. Oh, that is hysterical.
And then I started asking all kinds of questions, and the more I asked, the more I found out adults. And my opinion was, at that time, adults are merely grown-up children.
Children, yes.
That's all.
Of course.
Children.
They've got no answers.
In their bodies. Yeah.
No.
But they don't know any more about their life and the universe around them than I do. And I'm just a little 9-year-old kid, but I know enough to know that they don't know. Because I ask them questions, and they look at me like I'm a fool. And the ones that do give me answers don't make any sense at all.
You know, it's amazing, Jordan. You had all this insight and wisdom at such a young age, and yet you never let it go to your ego. You've always been a kind, humble, brilliant man in search of and looking for things, always. And on top of that, you have absorbed and connected so many things and made them clear to people who otherwise wouldn't have a clue when they get up and walk around that they're being literally shadowed and followed by demons and demonic entities and evil. And I'm assuming there's some good in there as well, but the world is nothing like
the world of mankind is in the hands of a unseen force. Yeah. It's an unseen, and I prefer to use the term overshadowing spiritual presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's an overshadowing spiritual presence of evil, dark lies and deception that are given to people as holiness and their holy ideas and their very... they're just holy things to do with God.
Well, they clerk it in spirituality, but it's a con job, a lot of it. What does the Bible say? I'm not a biblical expert. What did Jesus say? Do not build temples to worship me, or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah. And the Bible is filled with those kind
I'm
of
I'm not in a building.
No.
I'm not in a club.
You and your creator...
Right.
And your body was supposed to be a temple. And so the intelligent part of your body is in your head. And what do we call both sides of your head if it's not your temple?
Yeah.
And so you are the temple. And as a matter of fact, you can communicate with God in the temple, your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so both sides of your brain are called your temple. So anyway,
temple on each behind your eye. That's your temple, all right? That didn't happen by accident.
That's precisely right.
The church doesn't want people to know all this, Jordan, because it empowers people and takes them away from their boot. They're not able to keep their boot on them.
Well, what does the scripture say? To know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew, I mean, and it did, because even when I was in my young years, preteen, the more I began to look at the world around me and analyze it with what I could do as a 9, 10, 11-year-old, I was analyzing, why do adults say things like they do to each other? Why do they use these terms that that we all recognize, but I don't know where those terms came from, and why are we using them? And then it became obvious to me, because of all my close friends and their family, it seemed like there was a tradition of ignorance, that everybody was within the perimeters of the certain ignorance. As long as you understand that it's, you're totally ignorant, you're ill-informed, you're unread, you will be loved. Everyone in town likes you, and you'll have plenty of friends. Why? Because you're like them. You're about as stupid as they are. And so they like you because you're drinking the beer and going to the ball games and watching them bounce a basketball, and you go to your job and do what you do, and they go to their job and drink their beer and go to the game like you. So the scripture says if you are part of this world, the world would love what is its own. But because you were no part of this world, and what are you talking about? You are no part of this world. Well, Jesus said, I am no part of this world. But the scripture says Jesus was called the truth and the light. He said, I am the truth and the light. So therefore, Jesus represents symbolically as a metaphor the truth and the light. And my God, we've proven that. The one thing that is not part of the world we live in is truth and light.
Boy,
so therefore, the
that,
world we live in is filled with darkness and ignorance. And I don't know, it's just amazing to me how much people don't know about theology and religion, because I'm telling you.
Oh, they're taken further and further away from it. The spirituality that we were born with, all the things that we have as children that are quickly expunged and repressed and frightened out of us. We're such special beings. But the club of darkness, is intent on taking every child and erasing as much of what they come in with as they can.
As much of their humanity as they can. And this way, then they can call us cattle.
Servants.
Us on the stock market.
You got it.
As chattel. You know? And so,
that's it.
A classic example of the kind of thing I was asking, I remember many years ago, and then it wasn't until I saw the movie with Indiana Jones that it finally dawned on me. There's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, very, very well-known scripture, where Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, Christians have heard that scripture many, many times. Upon this rock I will build my church. Well, the Vatican says, and their typical, normal misinterpreting and purposely, they say that when it says upon this rock, he was talking about the Apostle Peter. And they said, and the reason why the Catholic Church said why Peter was referred to by Jesus as a rock is because he was a real man's man. He was really a rough and tumbling kind of guy. And so he was like the rock. He was like the movie star today, the rock.
Yeah.
And so he was the rock upon which this church will be built, as St. Peter.
Uh-huh.
Well, then if you go back to a Bible encyclopedia and look up the word rock, and look up that scripture, it will tell you the word in Greek for rock is Petra, P-E-T-R-A, not P-E-T-E-R. And so if you understand Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Sean Connery, the father, was looking for the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ. And right. Where did they finally end up? Finding the Holy Grail, the cup of Jesus, was in the country of Jordan. And it was at a temple that was built out in the middle of the desert and chiseled out of a rock, a stone, a huge stone. And the people of that time, they chiseled a temple out of this huge rock. And today it is referred to as Petra.
Yeah, it's an absolutely stunning thing. I've seen video of it. I've seen programs about it. And that's a movie I hadn't seen. It sounds like it's something I might want to see.
Oh, no, you've got to see it. It's called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
And
I will, thank you. It takes you to the country of Jordan and to this beautiful temple that was carved by hand out of this huge rock into a temple. And that particular rock or that temple is today referred to. If you're a tourist and you're going there, you say you want to go see Petra.
Yeah.
P-E-T-R-A. Well, that's what the word is in the Bible for when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Hmm. Well, the word, as I said, in the old Cornet Greek is P-E-T-R-A, not P-E-T-E-R. Hmm. So it's not Peter, it's Petra. And so now you begin to look at Petra and the cup of the Holy Grail. And when Indiana Jones and his father, Sean Connery, finally at the end of the movie, are finally find out that the Holy Grail, the very presence of Jesus and his holy church, etc., is now they've found it. They finally found it in the movie. It's the last crusade to find the final truth about Jesus and his church, and they find it in the country of Jordan at a place called Petra. And when they go into the temple of Petra, you see there's an old, very old Knights Templar, Masonic order soldier, a Knights Templar in all of his garb as a Knights Templar Masonic order. And he is saying, and he says to them, it represents the Knights Templars, and they are the protectors of the Holy Grail of the Lord Jesus. They are the protectors. And then you think, wow, man, that today the Knights Templars are the international bankers of the world.
Yeah, they are. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, now it opens up a whole new can of worms, because now the Knights Templars were known by their flag, which was a flat black flag with a skull and crossbones, and they were called Pirates of the Caribbean.
You're kidding. Yeah, they were actually called that?
That's right. They were called Pirates of the Caribbean. And the reason why is because the pirates, the legitimate Pirates of the Caribbean, they carried a flag on their ships, which was a black flag with a red skull and crossbones.
And not white, red skull and crossbones.
Yeah. Black, red, and black, white, and red are referred to as the death head colors. Black, white, and red are death head colors. It means something in the Masonic order of the world that most people do not even know exists. But in movies, when you're going to see a murder or a violent killing or something, you will see those three main colors in the scene of the movie: red, white, and black.
Wow.
And it's referred to as death head colors in Hollywood. And so, you know, and then when you begin to see that when the Pirates of the Caribbean were robbers, they didn't, you know, they were not prejudiced. They robbed anybody. They even robbed each other.
Yeah.
And so they would rob anybody. But they had an organization. These Knights Templars had an organization, just like the mob does today. Its organization and the Caribbean decided that all the pirates had to deposit their money and deposit whatever they stole. They could bring it to one particular island, And that, and they set up what they call their bank and their depositories. And so there was one island in the Caribbean that the Knights Templars would bring anything they stole, they would bring it and deposit it there and have their name on it, and nobody would touch it. There was an honor among thieves at that time where nobody will touch. One Knights Templar Masonic order would steal something, they would bring it to that island, put their name on it, and it will always be theirs. And so that island was called Puerto Rico. And so today, the Federal Reserve in the Internal Revenue, their headquarters, the corporate headquarters of the Federal Reserve and the IRS. Internal Revenue is in Puerto Rico.
Nobody knows that.
It's in Puerto Rico.
How weird.
So if you want to contact the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue to do business, you pick up the phone and there's a phone number in Puerto Rico. And that's where the Federal Reserve Internal Revenue is. Why? Because it's the Pirates of the Caribbean, Knights Templars. Get it?
Got it.
It's the hunt for the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail was the cup of the Grail, supposedly the cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. That all has to do with the Passover, and that's another whole story.
Is there any stash still down in Puerto Rico, hidden somewhere, or it was all?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's some really incredible stuff in Puerto Rico that you wouldn't know about, because the Knights Templars.
No, nobody would know.
Well, the Pirates of the Caribbean was what you would call a big club, and you ain't in it. So,
you know what else, Jordan? Let me ask you something. This is it's on the same general path. You know the story of Oak Island.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
All right. Now, that has to be tied in into this somehow. That is an ingeniously built, there's something down there that is enormously wealthy and important. Tell me what you know about Oak Island.
Well, I used to go over to Manly Palmer Hall. Manly Palmer Hall was a dear, dear friend of mine. And when he passed away, in his will, he left me a whole complete set of all of his research journals to me.
Wow.
In his will. And that was all the way back to 1932 or 33 when he first had the first journal to the day he died. He left all of his research.
Manly P. Hall. I didn't know you were that close to him. That's a remarkable story.
Incredible. Yeah. And I was shocked when Obadiah Harris called me right after I had heard that Mr. Hall died. Uh-huh. And he said, Mr. Hall left you something in his will, so you might as well come get it. And I said, what did he left me something? He said, yes, he specifically said to give this to you when he passed. And I said, what is it, Obadiah? And he said, no, I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to come pick it up. So I drove up from San Diego that day. I couldn't wait to see what Mr. Hall would leave me.
Yeah.
I mean, the likes of me, I'm a nobody. But Mr. Hall thought that I was somebody, so he left me in a will all of his research journals going all the way back to 1936. And you can't pay, you couldn't buy that set of his personal journals of all of his research of his life. You couldn't buy that with money.
Astonishing. You have those still, I assume.
No, I don't. Everything I owned
was
put together in one place in a warehouse, and the warehouse where my stuff was sitting, everything was burned down, everything. And
I remember
now.
I
still have the paper clippings, and I.
That was no accident. No.
Everything I own in this world was at a warehouse, and it was being shipped. I was going to ship it somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody knew everything Jordan Maxwell owns in this world is sitting on a ramp at a big warehouse. and they got the address. And so the morning it was supposed to be delivered to me, I got a phone call and said, last night there's a fire broke out on the loading dock where all of your stuff was sitting to be delivered to you, and it all burned to the ground, period. Everything, your computers, your videos.
I remember now. It's horrible. I remember when you called and told me about all this stuff. It was just heartbreaking.
So, but it's still in my head, and I still have been building it all back up with my computer. But unfortunately, I don't own anything, and I'm broke, and I need a computer. I need a printer. I need a screen.
Jordan, you don't have your.
I don't have anything. I mean, I've got a computer and I've got a screen, but the thing is, it's almost as old as I am.
Do we have a GoFundMe page set up for you?
Say it again.
Do you have a GoFundMe page?
No, I do not.
We need to set one up for you. I will see what I can do. This is ridiculous.
I don't have anything. I have no money, no checking account, no saving, no nothing, period. I live in one room in Flagstaff, Arizona, that a good friend gave me as a storage room, not connected to the house. It's just a little storage room off the house, in the backyard. And so we painted it and put a carpet down, and I could sleep on the floor. And that's where I live, in one little small room in Arizona. And thank God, he's a dear friend of mine, to allow me to live here with him.
Well,
you know, and so I eat here and I live here, and I can go in the house if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have anything. And thank God, he gave me a place to live, because I'd be sleeping under a bridge.
Well, not as long as I'm alive, you won't. I didn't know this. Jordan does not play the fiddle of grief for anybody. He doesn't talk. Him as well as I do, he won't tell you unless you're sitting down and really talking to him. This is not okay. I'm going to see what I can do about getting a GoFundMe page. You know, they talk, Jordan, about Ray Kurzweil and, you know, the Google guru, the transhumanist guru, Ray Kurzweil, and how they're going to upload his brain, his entire brain into a supercomputer. That's the goal. That's what he's working on. And if there was anyone I would like to see that accorded to, it would be you, to have your consciousness and wisdom uploaded into a supercomputer. I think that'll maybe already they can do it. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if they can. Because when they talk about, well, maybe one day we can do this, it usually means we've already done it. And that's how they play the game. So we don't know.
I sit here at 78 years old, looking back on my life and all of the strangeness of my life and the strange people I've met and the off-the-wall, absolutely outrageous things that I have learned from dark and interesting dark people that know stuff that the world doesn't. And I somehow or another found myself in the company of all kinds of interesting people, astronauts and physicists and scientists, mafiosos.
And princesses, billionaire princesses. Don't forget that one. I mean, it just goes on and on. Yeah.
And also presidential advisors to the President of the United States. And I've had the president talking to his advisor using my name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible that the people I know and the people that know me, but I don't have anything. At this moment, I am totally broke with nothing. But the only little bit of money comes in is on my research society, because people donate to the research society.
Please, let's give them that address. And all of you listening, the Japanese have a designation for older people, mature people who are considered special. They're called living monuments. And Jordan Maxwell should be designated a living monument. And Let's reach out and help this man a little bit. Where can they go to do this, Jordan?
Well, I happily, my webman is doing so much for me that I'm not able to pay him for, but he's great. He's a very smart guy on computers, and so he's put together my my new website, because my old one is gone, but my new website is Jordan Maxwell Show. And so if you go on Jordan Maxwell Show, that's my website.
.com.
And on there, and on my Jordan Maxwell Show website, I have a research website that he put together for me.
It's kind of like
a
club.
So it's a research, and it's a research website, and it's a one-time contribution, and it's a lifetime, you know, idea of a lifetime for one-time contribution, a small one, that all of my work over the years that I have been saving and putting onto hard drives, I collected it all up on one hard drive, and I made two or three copies of that 4-terabyte hard drive of all of my work. And that's the only reason I'm in business at all today.
Wow.
Because like I said, everything was burned up. But what they didn't know is I had on my person in the plane where I was going, I had the 4-terabyte in my hand, which had all of my research on it. Well, as it turns out, everything was burned to the ground, except I have 4 terabytes. That's 4,000 gigs of pictures and documents and videos and all kinds of research over the years. And so I'm back in business, but you know, but at 78 years old, I don't know how much longer I'll be here. And the one thing that does bother me about my life right now is the fact that I would love to be able to tell the people in the audience what I know. I'm not the world's foremost expert on nothing, but I've been in the company of some strange people. I mean, people who are very powerful, very wealthy, industrialists, internationalists, and I've sat with them for hours and talked with them in private. And you would be shocked to hear some of my stories from some of the most powerful people in the world that have confided in me. And again, my sadness comes from the fact that most of this I would never be able to tell anybody on the air. I would never do that. I would never talk about some of the most important people I've ever met, because they would be involved in some serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the big club that we're not in ever found out that I'm sitting with some of the most powerful people on the earth and talking with them in private, their lives would they don't know what was said, but their lives would be in danger. And I know mine would. I probably wouldn't even see the sun come up. So there's only so much I can do. But it really bothers me that I wish there was something I could do to tell you just some of the really dark things that are going on right now in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told about them years ago and what they are and why they're happening and what's going to happen after that. And but I so much I cannot tell. Because I've said so many times, there are so many things I would love to tell you. And it would make one hell of a radio show. It would make one incredible radio show if I was to break down and tell you the stuff I really know and tell you who told me and where I was and what I saw. It would be a tremendous radio show. It would be great radio. But in 2 weeks, most people will have forgotten all about it, except the mob and the people behind the scenes that I shot my mouth off and talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't forget. Yeah, the audience will forget a couple of weeks or a month. They forget all about it. But these people that I am in touch with, they don't forget. And there's going to be a payment. Somebody's going to have to pay for what I did. And it's going to be me to start with, and whoever I'm talking about is going to be them too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wish I could tell you.
Well, it's very gracious and graceful of you not to do it. Most people would probably do it. I would only ask this: down the road, however much further the road goes. You're going to take all this with you, Jordan?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have to, because I'm afraid for my life. I would not want to say things. Yeah. And I'm also highly respective of these very powerful people who trusted me and sat with me.
Oh, that's and priceless, of course.
And I would never do that. And I told them. And these were people very high up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them I would never, ever, as long as I live, I would never tell or repeat the things that I heard them say. But I was seeing it. I knew exactly when I see things happening around the world, like that, like those murders and those Zionist stuff that's going on in France,
right,
and the killings and the terrorism. I knew exactly who's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why. And my God, if I could tell you some of the stuff that I've been told many years ago, and then you say, well, that's just what happened just recently. I said, yeah, I know. But I can't tell you what I really would like to, because I'm afraid for my life. And I'm afraid to get other people in trouble. But I'm just telling you, the world is far, far deeper and darker than even you begin to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It is an incredible story about how the human race has been put together over the last 10,000 years, and the history of this earth that you have no idea in the world about how far back intelligent life goes on this earth, and all of the dark symbols and infiltration into the human race of otherworld entities. Their symbols, their words, their terms. This is why you have human sacrifice, child sacrifices, because they're dealing with otherworld entities. Hollywood, I told you where it came from. And so the very concept of Hollywood, it's the magic of Hollywood. Yeah, you bet your ass it's the magic of Hollywood. It's legitimate, du jour, and real otherworld powers. They control the destiny of the human family, and we don't even know it. And they're sacrificing children and women and families. It's a frightening.
Well, it's planet evil now. It's not what it once might have been, and it hasn't been. Even going back to reading Edgar Cayce's book, they took all of his readings that dealt with Atlantis and put them in one book. It's not a very big paperback. Just read that about the struggle between dark and light. And that was, 12,000 years ago, thereabout. These are reincarnation stories that he described in his trances. And, it's the same war that's going on. And
it's
right
the same
now,
identical thing. Same thing. You're exactly right. And most people don't realize how far back this goes, thousands of years.
Way beyond that, too. We look at things, it's like the Egyptian version of history in terms of Giza and the monuments. Yep. But the Egyptian didn't build those. They inherited them.
That's what Herodotus said. The ancient Greek Herodotus said when he went into Egypt and saw the pyramids, he asked the people of that time, who built these things? And they said, we don't know.
Yeah.
We've got the faintest idea.
And no.
The one thing we are pretty assured of is it wasn't the Egyptians. These pyramids were here way before the Egyptians were.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's, in South Africa, they go down in their mines so far down that they're in strata, which all the paleontologists and archaeologists agree upon that at the depth that they go down into those mines, the strata is 3.5 billion years old,
right.
And yet they're bringing up handmade metal artifacts. 3.5 billion years old, and strata, and the handmade artifacts, and implies, if you don't know, that somebody here on the earth was making handmade artifacts 3.5 billion years ago.
Think just about amazing. That. Amazing. One of the first books I read that opened the door to that was Michael Cremo's book, Hidden History of the Human Race, and artifacts and things that you're talking about, and other things as well. There was one coal formation, coal miners, yep. And they broke open a big piece of anthracite coal, and in the middle of it was a beautiful gold-linked bracelet for a human being, right in the middle of the coal. Gold links, gold. So, okay.
Have you seen, Jeff, have you seen the gold, highly important computer parts that were found in Russia and the Urals in the Martin and the way out in the middle of the no place out there in Russia, out in the Urals, there were scientists, government scientists that mm-hmm. went out there mm-hmm. and they found small, tiny little pieces of gold, and they collected them all up and brought them back and put them under microscopes in their computer parts.
Wow.
These little tiny gold computer parts with the plug-ins and wrapping mm-hmm. around this and wrapping around that.
And I haven't seen this. That's phenomenal.
Oh, my God, they're beautiful parts, but they're tiny.
Uh-huh.
And the gold, they said, is so pure, we don't have that kind of pure gold.
Huh.
But this is found in the mountains of Russia, out in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
All I'm saying is we don't know the history of the world we live in.
We have had our birthright heritage stolen from us. We are kept in the dark like deaf, dumb, and blind idiots. We don't have any idea about this planet, its history, our history, the history of the solar system, the galaxy. All of this knowledge is there. We're not allowed.
Well, it's a big club, and you ain't in it.
No, we aren't.
And so that's, like George Carlin said, it's a big club, and the guys in the club, they're not about to tell you anything. They look upon us as nothing more than human cattle. That's all we are. We just consume food and reproduce and go to work and drink our beer and watch a 14-hour.
We are beyond expendable. They don't give a rat's tail about human life. Our lives, nothing. We mean nothing to the controllers.
Well, let me tell you about this, too. Think about how many sports in the Western civilization around the world and Western society, how many sports involve a ball?
Yeah.
How many involve a ball? Think about it. Basketball, football.
Yeah.
Golf ball, tennis ball, soccer ball, ping pong ball, football, and
it goes on and on. Croquet ball, a ping pong ball.
Right.
I mean, it's endless. Yeah.
And so why? Why is it always with the ball? Because the masters of this world, they know we are like animals, and so they look at the animals and give a ball to a bunch of cats. And the cats will play with it all day long, bouncing a ball and chasing it. Yeah, and then they give it to a dog, a whole bunch of dogs, and throw a ball out there. And boy, just watch them entertain themselves for days, chasing the ball, bouncing the ball, kicking the ball.
That's sports.
So that's what they said for us. Just give them a bunch of beer. Make sure that there's a liquor store on every corner in every city, so that you can make sure that they can go in and get liquor anytime they want.
Your liquor, there's always the independent contractor with the other stuff, right?
Yeah. And so this way they'll always have plenty of beer, plenty of liquor, and plenty to have their big parties with and go out to the game and just get out of our way and make sure that you keep the slobs and the working class people out of our way as we run the planet. So,
you know,
that's
and this,
why
this Jordan, this invasion and destruction of Europe and its history, it's a tragedy. It's going to, the same thing is going to be done to us, is being done to us. We just don't seem to, and I think it has to do with electromagnetic frequencies, food, toxicity, chemtrail, all of these things, all of the above, are keeping white, Caucasian, Western Christianity from losing its place in the narrative.
Yep.
We're lost here. We're going to lose it all. And yep. I don't see any way to reverse
There's
it.
No doubt about it. In my opinion, that's exactly correct. The human family does not have the ability to change anything. They will allow you to cry about it and rant and rave about it, march around the street with signs.
Yeah.
They don't mind if you don't like getting raped and screwed over and lied to. The masters of this planet realize that you've got the freedom to do whatever you want to do. You can cry about it, you argue about it, talk about it, but the problem is you cannot do, that's spelled D-O, you can't do anything about it. Why? Because you don't have the power to do anything. Why? Why don't you have the power? Simple. Knowledge is power. And as long as you don't understand how the world actually, in fact, works and what the words mean, if you don't understand that, what's going on, then you're just out there like everybody else, like cows out there in the field, looking over there, you know, looking over the herd, and then chewing their cud, and they're going to be working at the McDonald's soon. Mm. And so that's what we are. We're just being led into a trap because the people do not know what the words and terms and symbols and emblems.
No.
They don't know what these things mean. And
they're
that's
kept
why
in a state of oblivion. We, you know, Jordan, the other thing, we don't have much time. In fact, we're just about out of time. But this student loan program that started. Do you know how many American young people, mostly young, some are older, are involved with these student loan indentured slavery contracts that they can never get out of? They owe collectively now over $1.4 trillion. There are 30 million people indentured to a system that couldn't care less about them. They are the new chattel, the student loan chattel. They're absolutely owned by the system for life. 30 million of them.
And
already,
where did the government get the money to give that to the students?
Course,
well, they just write it up.
Yep.
They run off the printing machine.
Well, that's what the Z on that's what the keyboard, the zero on the keyboard is for. Just add another zero. Add another zero. It's all a joke.
It's a bad joke. Sad. But the bottom line is that knowledge is power, and the people, like the Bible has God saying, my people are dying from a lack of knowledge.
It's the most powerful thing on the planet, period, knowledge.
This is what I have been trying to do all of my life, is just help people to understand, and I've done that without looking to it and looking at it as a business, and therefore today...
No. That's why you're where you are. Your motivation is as pure as it gets, and the contributions you have made are matchless, peerless. So always keep that in mind, and we're going to work on this situation. We'll talk. I'll give you a call tomorrow. We'll talk.
I appreciate it. And we'll talk later.
Okay.
I just wish I had the wherewithal to do something. It's very difficult because I've got the knowledge, but I don't have anything.
Oh, do you ever. Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for being here.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's talk later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Jordan Maxwell. And the term, the one and only, has been used, but never more appropriately. There's only one, Jordan Maxwell. Okay. That's it. Back with you tomorrow night. Talk to you then.